thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your strength working in us, destroying our weaknesses. Thank you for your strength giving us perfection. Thank you for your love that fills our hearts. Thank you for helping us to love you more than ourselves. Thank you for helping us to love you more than the things of this world. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to know you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be a vessel in your hand that you are using to glorify yourself in the earth. Thank you, Father. We thank you for anointing us with your power, with your presence, and with favor. Thank you, Father. We thank you for breakthroughs you have given to us. Thank you for success you have given to us. Thank you for victories you have given to us. Blessed be your holy name. We thank you for divine revelations you keep showing us as we sleep, as we meditate on your word, and even as we pray. Thank you, Father. We thank you for mighty things your word of truth has done in our lives. Through these teachings we receive every Tuesday, we thank you because by the entrance of your word, we have been delivered from darkness. By the entrance of your word, we have been healed. We have been transformed. We have been changed into the person you want us to be. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you because even now you are here to illuminate our hearts. Thank you, Lord, because as your word will be coming forth, our lives shall be blessed and edified and transformed, and we shall glorify your name forever. Thank you, faithful Lord, because you shall do beyond our expectations. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And I trust God to bless you through today's teaching. I trust God to help you, strengthen you, and give you growth through today's teaching. Amen. We're going to continue from where we stopped during the last class. Do not forget that we have been talking about building a strong relationship with God. Building a strong relationship with God. And we stopped at point E, where I was talking about abiding in Him and He in us. Point E. And don't forget that this point E is under our special relationship with God. It's under the subtopic that says our special relationship with God. So point E says we live and abide in him and he lives in us. Now we'll be looking at point F. Point F, which is we are Jesus's body. We are Jesus's body. Which is the same as we are the body of Christ. We are Jesus's body, which is the same as we are the body of Christ. The church, which comprises of you and I, and every believer in everywhere in the world, in the realm of the spirit or in the kingdom of God, we are the body of Jesus. Yeah, so Jesus is the head and we are the body. Yeah, and one thing that is so significant about this union is the fact that we are to be like Jesus, as he is the head of the body. We are to grow to become like him. You know, usually everything you do with your body, you receive messages from your brain and spinal cord. You receive impulses. You receive messages. Yeah, even before you speak, before you move your leg, something has happened in your nervous system. And your nervous system comprises of your brain, your spinal cord, and the nerves. And there are other systems in the body, like the endocrine system. The endocrine system consists of your hormones. Yeah, there are other systems in the body that controls how we think, how we speak, what we do. Yeah. So, I want you to see Jesus as the systems controlling the church. So inside of Jesus is all the system, just as inside the human body, cardiovascular system, which is the same as circulatory system, gastrointestinal system, which some of you know as digestive system. I'm speaking medical terms. Yeah. But all these systems, they control how your body operates. For instance, the gastrointestinal system deals with the gastrointestinal system starts from your mouth. When you put food into your mouth, the food passes through your throat, which is also called esophagus, and the food enters your stomach, and then the food enters your small intestine, large intestine. It enters the large intestine, which comprises of the colons. Yeah. And then it goes to the rectum, it goes to the anus, and then the food becomes feces that your waste product that you go into the toilet to push out. So my point is that there are a lot of systems that is governing the functions of your body. For instance, the cardiovascular, this with the heart, your heart pumping the blood, and those blood going into blood vessels, arteries, veins, yeah. And also the respiratory system deals with your lungs and the trachea. The respiratory system deals with how you breathe in and out. Yeah, so many systems like that governing your entire body. Now, I want you to see Jesus as the systems governing the church. So inside of Jesus is where control should come from. So we are Jesus' body means that we follow Jesus's thinking pattern. We follow the thinking pattern of Jesus. We talk like Jesus. We behave like Jesus. We love like Jesus. And how many of us are loving like Jesus? The Bible says, while we're yet sinners, meaning while we're yet enemies of God, Christ loved us. God loved us. And he died for us. So imagine you dying for someone that is pouring salt on your wound. Let's say you already have an open wound. And the person keeps pouring salt on that open wound. You see how painful it will be? And then that is the same person you are dying for. Can't you see how wonderful the love of Christ is? That's the kind of love Jesus had for us. So we are to love like he loved. We are to think like he thinks, talk like he talks, behave like he behaves. Yeah, so we are to be controlled by him. We are to follow his ways, follow his footsteps. Yeah, we are to obey his instructions. So that is what it means to be the body of Christ. Meaning that everything we do is to please Christ. Yeah, I explained it during the last, I think it was the last Bible study class. I said, when your body starts doing opposite of what your brain is thinking, that medically it is called madness. It means you are mad. When your body starts doing something else from what your brain is thinking. So the same thing with the church. We must not be doing something else, something different from what is in the mind of God, from what is in the mind of Christ. That is why we are apostolic people. We are apostolic Christians or apostolic believers. To be apostolic means that you are following the dictates of the one who has sent you. You are following the dictates of the one who has called you. To be apostolic means that you are following you are doing exactly what God has commanded you to do. Like God gave you a mission. He gave you a purpose. And you are doing exactly what he has commanded. You are carrying out the mission the way he wants it done. Yeah. So it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be apostolic. To be led by the Holy Spirit. For instance, we know from the scriptures that God is busy every hour, every day. Even Jesus Christ testified to it. Jesus said, my Father has been working up to now, and myself too, I am working. And Jesus said, I do whatsoever I see my Father do. Yeah. So we believe that the Holy Ghost is working all the time. We believe that God is working all the time. So to be apostolic is to join the business of God. Is to join the move of the Spirit, which is to be led by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Many Christians today claim to have the Holy Ghost because many speak in tongues. or many pray in tongues, and many claim to hear the voice of God. Yeah, but my question is, how many are being led by the Holy Spirit? We cannot say there is revival until we have people that are being led by the Holy Spirit, and they are doing exactly what the Holy Spirit is leading them to do. That is one of the significant signs of revival. Yeah, we have people that they will not do anything until the Spirit of the Lord leads them. And everything the Spirit of the Lord leads them to do is what they do. And they don't care whether it's comfortable or not, or whether it's convenient or not. Yeah, so these are the signs of apostolic Christians. Now, I decided to talk about being apostolic because it's connected to being the body of Christ. Because Jesus is busy all the time. He's busy looking for how to win souls to the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of God. Jesus is busy about so many operations in the head. The same with God. Yeah, and if Jesus is busy, which is our head, that means we also have to be busy with all that he is busy with. Yeah, there was a time I was teaching that if I no longer do what God has placed me in this world to do, then I don't see any reason to be alive. I don't see any reason to remain alive. Because I see myself as I am here for a purpose. I am here because there is a task. There is a mission. There is an assignment. Yeah, and if I can no longer fulfill that assignment, then I should not continue to live. Yeah, that is what I believe, and that is the truth. Yeah, immediately Jesus finished his earthly assignment, he handed over himself to be killed. Because usually they couldn't kill him. No one can kill him. He gave himself to be killed, meaning that when he was done, he died when he was done. And he was done at age 33. And a half or so. Yeah, it was done and then he died. Yeah, so how many Christians are living a purpose-driven life? Or maybe I should throw the question to you. How many of you are living a purpose-driven life? Like when you wake up in the morning, you think about your cross. Your cross is why you are here. That's your cross. Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, carry his cross daily, and follow me. Yeah, your cross is why you are here. It's your purpose. Yeah, and your purpose is likened to a cross. Because if you are going to fulfill your purpose, you must be sacrificial. You cannot fulfill God's purpose on earth conveniently, easily, or comfortably. It will demand sacrifices, whether you agree or not. The work of God will always demand sacrifices. Yeah. And that is why Jesus called it a cross. So when you wake up in the morning, what do you think about? Do you think about the reason why you are here? Your divine purpose? Or you think about how to really enjoy life? Well, I hardly think about that. Because I have grown to understand that I am here for his purpose to be fulfilled, not because I want to enjoy life. Yeah, so every Christian must think like Jesus. Jesus said, I must walk the walk of he that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can walk. Yeah, every one of us should think like him. If we are his body, we should think like him. We should, you know, be like him. So if he was so purpose-driven when he was on earth, then we must be the same. So what are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your resources? What are you doing with your qualifications, your skills? Do they have anything to do with the kingdom of God? Do they have anything to do with the mind of God for your existence? So these are the things you should consider. Now, because you probably have had the term body of Christ many times. Body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Yeah, but many of us are not living in the reality of that phrase. Yeah, of that three words, body of Christ. We are not living in the reality of it. If we are body of Christ, then are we following the head, our head, which is Christ? Are we thinking like him? Do we see things like he sees things? Or we are still thinking like unbelievers, reasoning like those that don't know God, those that are so, that their hearts is so filled with darkness. So these are the things we should really think about whenever you see that phrase in the Bible, body of Christ. Think about how you are connected to Christ. Think about doing what Jesus would be doing if he is here on earth. Do you think Jesus will sleep for excess hours? If Jesus were to be here right now, do you think he would just be sleeping in the room doing nothing? Do you think Jesus would just sit down, fold hands, and be enjoying life, watching movies, playing, and not doing anything that pertains to soul winning and revival? Yeah, do you think Jesus will be behaving the way you are behaving right now? So these are the things we should ask ourselves every time we see the word body of Christ. Yeah, because we are to be like him. I was listening to a teaching some time ago, and I think it was a Bible study or a Sunday school class. The brother was referring to, the teacher was referring to what happened in the encounter Apostle Paul had with Jesus on his road to Damascus. Yeah, the brother said that Jesus was accusing Saul. You know, he was Saul before he became Paul. Jesus was accusing him. He said, why are you persecuting me? So the brother said Jesus did not, you know, challenge him by saying, why are you persecuting the church? Or why are you persecuting my church? He said, Jesus was saying, why are you persecuting me? So meaning that Jesus considered himself to be one with the church. Just as you can't separate the head from the body. So anything that is done to the body, for instance, let's say someone hits your back with a stick, a big stick. Yeah. Will your head not feel the pain? All the parts of you will feel the pain. Yeah. So Jesus, the way Jesus is connected with the church is like the way you cannot separate head from the body. Separating head from the body is death. You cut off the head, like you cut off For instance, when John the Baptist was sentenced to death, they cut off his head, he died. So I've not seen any man that they cut off his head and the man is still alive. I've not seen that before. It doesn't exist. So Jesus sees himself as one with the church. So anything done against the body is done against Jesus. Just as you can't separate the body from the head. Yeah. So that is how connected. Is a mystery. It's a mystery that you need to fully meditate on to understand it deeper. So that is how you can't just separate Jesus from the church because of that oneness. Yeah, and that is also why we should not think that we can live our own lives after we have given our lives to Jesus. You should not think that you can live for yourself, that you can live another life that is not in Jesus. You should not think that, because in the kingdom of God, it is madness. If you are connected to the head, you have to follow the dictates of the head. Yeah. And that also implies that, I'm just telling you the implications of Jesus being in our head. It also implies that you have to love the brethren. You have to be an agent of unity and not disunity. You have to be an agent of peace, joy, healing in the church. Yeah. So meaning that you must not be an agent that devil will be using against other Christians. You must not make yourself an agent that will be gossiping about other people. Because every time you do that in the church, you are hurting Jesus. You must not be an agent that will be causing division, conflict in the house of God. Because every time you do that, you are not just doing that to the brethren, you are also doing that to Jesus. Because the church is Jesus' body. I believe you understand the illustration. So now let's look at some scriptures that confirms what we have just discussed. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. You know, it says Jesus is the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Jesus is the head over all things to the church. And not only that, Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. Yeah. Yeah, I read, it says, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Yeah, which means that God has put all things under Jesus. Yeah. Which also mean that God has put all things under the church, under the control of the church. Yeah, if God has put all things under the feet of Jesus, meaning if Jesus had dominion over all things, It also means that the body of Christ have dominion, the same dominion that Jesus have over all things. The church also have the same. Yeah. So if for instance, Jesus is marching on something, Jesus is marching on something, and we are the body of Jesus. So that means whatever is under the feet of Jesus is under the feet of the church. I hope you get that. So if God has put principalities, powers, dominion, thrones, rulers of darkness, demons, serpents, scorpions, if God has put all these things under Jesus, then it automatically means that God has put the same things under the feet of the church. So the church is on earth to enforce the dominion of Christ, the headship of Christ. Yeah, the church is to enforce and demonstrate that Jesus is above all. Yeah, so there is no negotiation about this. You don't negotiate with demons. You don't negotiate with sin, with darkness. You don't negotiate with the spirits of darkness. You enforce the headship of Christ. So God has put all things under his feet. It means God has put all things under your feet. That's what it means. So if a devil stir up a situation to take away your peace, if devil is causing a trouble in your life, enforce the dominion of Christ on that situation. Speak to the situation that God has placed me over you. Because God has placed all things under Jesus. So this is how we are supposed to think. Yeah, this is how we are supposed to think. Like some people will be asking prophets, saying, prophet, am I going to die? Am I going to die of this disease? Prophesy, man of God, is this disease going to kill me? Some people say, man of God, prophesy, am I going to ever have a child in life? Am I going to ever succeed in life? Well, what is God saying? I'm even fed up. Am I ever going to move forward in life? Will I ever have peace in life? Yeah, you don't need to be asking a prophet all these questions. In fact, you don't need to be asking anyone all these questions because you already have the power to determine what will be yours. Yeah. You have the power to make those things yours, to make healing yours. You have the power to determine what should happen to you. Yeah, before I used to be a victim of circumstances. When devil do little thing, I am troubled. When devil do little thing, I lose peace. I lose joy. But when I come to the understanding that I am not to agree with what devil is doing in my life. That I am to determine what should happen in my life. I am not to surrender to what devil wants to happen to me, and I'm not to agree with what devil wants to happen to me, but I am to determine what should happen to me. So when I got an understanding, I began to live all my life in peace and joy and victory. Why? Because I will always enforce the headship of Christ. So if Jesus is above all, so am I. If Jesus is above sicknesses, so am I. If he is above poverty, so am I. If he is above slavery, addictions, so am I. If Jesus is above death, So am I. So you have to begin to think from the head, because he is your head. Yeah, Jesus is your head. Think from the head. So ask yourself, will Jesus be thinking about one problem and be negotiating with his devil, begging the devil, please leave me alone. Devil, please stop attacking me. Devil, what did I do to you? Like, devil, why are you doing this to me? Will Jesus be negotiating with demons or begging demons? No. Yeah, so think like your head thinks. Think like Jesus thinks. Yeah, and somebody have asked me some time ago, and she said, what did I do to Satan? What did I do to the agents of Satan? Why won't they leave my life alone? I was just laughing. He said, why are they always attacking me? What did I do to witches and wizards? I was just laughing. Why? Because she doesn't need those questions. Yeah, all she needs is to enforce the dominion of Christ over them. So you don't ask questions. What did I do to powers and principalities? Why are they attacking me? You know, those are, to me, those are childish questions. You don't ask questions. You don't negotiate. You show them that they are nothing. Show them that they are weak. So let it be real in your life that Jesus is your head and that you are his body. Let it be real in your life. And not only that, let it be real in whatever church you find yourself. Show love to the brethren, because the body is united. The eyes works in agreement with the nose. The ears works in agreement with the legs. So all the parts of the body, they work together in agreement. They are not against each other. So the same way we must prove the reality of the unity of the body of Christ. So we must love one another. We must support each other. We must believe in each other. Yeah. We must help each other. We must promote unity among us, not division, not hatred. Yeah. So all these things is the meaning, or all these things constitutes the meaning of the church being a body of Christ. Yeah, or the body of Christ. Now, let's look at another scripture. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, if you look at verse 29, before this verse 30, it says, for no man ever yet entered his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church. Yeah. So that is a very special relationship. No one will intentionally begin to hit his head on the wall, or slap his face, or hurt his body. Yeah, but everyone wants to take care of their bodies. Eat good food, take shower, and all of that. So even the same with the Lord. The Lord has a love of great plans for his church. Yeah, the Lord has a lot of great plans for his body. But many of us don't know these things because we are not really connected with the Lord. Yeah. Many of us don't know how much God has beautiful plans for his church, which includes you and I, because we are not really connected with the Lord. There was a time I was invited to a church, and as I entered the church, the Spirit of God began to speak to me that in this church, Jesus is not there. So I was surprised. Yeah, the Spirit of God began to expose to me that they have closed the door against Jesus in that church. Yeah, that they have shut the door against Jesus. But I was surprised because in this church, they do deliverances, they speak in tongues, they prophesy, and all of that. And then the Holy Spirit is saying, Jesus is not here. Yeah, so I was surprised and I was like, how is that possible? You know, but when I searched the scriptures, I discovered that it is very possible, because even Jesus said somewhere in the Bible, he said in the last days, some people will come, you know, some people will tell me that in your name, we cast out devils, in your name, we did mighty miracles. But he will tell them that, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Yeah, so it is possible that majority, or maybe I should say, it is possible that a lot of us are not connected to Jesus. It is possible that a lot of us are not following Jesus. It is possible that we are only following what we want from you. We are only following Jesus for what we want. We are not following Jesus as we should. Yeah, because no one follows Jesus without first denying himself. If Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, if anyone will follow after me, he said, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, you can read Matthew 16, verse 24. Yeah, to confirm that. So you can't follow Jesus and still love yourself and still count yourself as so important or as more important. Yeah. You can't follow Jesus and be proud. You can't follow Jesus and be self-centered and carnal. It's not possible. Yeah. You can't follow Jesus and still be addicted to sin. You can't follow Jesus and still be nursing secret sins in your heart. So all these things is happening. I mean, the opposite of the things I just mentioned is happening in many churches and in the lives of many Christians. So which tells you that it is possible to actually be a Christian and not follow Jesus. Or maybe I should say, be a Christian and not be a disciple of Jesus. Yeah, so it's possible that people are following Jesus because of what they want from Jesus. Yeah, not because they have surrendered their lives to Jesus. Yeah, some people, they see Christianity as a social thing or a business thing full of transactions. So I do this for God. You should do this for me. Yeah, of course, God rewards our sacrifices. But Christianity is more than that. Yeah, it's more than doing some things for God and expecting rewards. It's more than that. It's all about surrendering all, giving all your life to Jesus. It's all about putting yourself aside. It's all about you dying to a life you have known since when you were born, and you picking up another life you don't even know. Yeah, so these things, among many others, is what Christianity is all about. Yeah. So if we really want to understand the beautiful plans Jesus has for his church, which is his body, then let us begin to follow Jesus indeed. Let us follow Jesus indeed. Be serious about your relationship with God. Then you begin to understand that you are existing for a purpose. Then you begin to understand that there are beautiful plans in the mind of God for your life and destiny. Yeah. I pray for you that the Lord will open your eyes to really understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. So if we look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Yeah, let me read it. Colossians 1, verse 18. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He said, Jesus is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Yeah. This scripture is showing us that Jesus has, I'm trying to show you something deeper in this place. Yeah, this passage is trying to tell us that the concept of the church has been in the mind of God even before the word was. Yeah, that's why it says he's the head of the body. Who is the beginning? Yeah, Jesus is the beginning of all things. So meaning that before anything was, Jesus is. Yeah. So the issue of the church, or the matter of the church, or the concept of the church, has been known and has been planned even before the earth was created. So which means that God has known you before the world was. You have been known. You have been known that you will be part of the church. You have been known that you will believe in Jesus. You will repent. You will surrender to Jesus. You have been known before time began. Yeah, so he has been the head of the church, even from the very beginning of all things. So that is a special relationship. Yeah, so which means that there is so much Jesus wants to tell you. If you will take your relationship with him serious, there is so much Jesus wants to reveal to you. There is so much about you he wants to tell you. Yeah, I'm not talking about the physical you that everyone knows. I'm talking about the you that you don't know yet, which is divine, which is not a carnal and, you know, the physical you that everybody knows. I'm talking about another you that is still hidden from you. There is so much about who you really are that Jesus wants to tell you why you are here, and he wants to tell you. I mean, so much about why you are here, he wants to tell you. So much about your destiny, so much about your purpose, he wants to tell you. Yeah, if you will begin to take your relationship with him serious, you know, from the time I began to know God very closely, I began to know myself in him also. Yeah. As I began to know him, I began to know who I am in him before the world began. And a lot of mysteries were being unfolded to me. Mysteries that I can't tell anyone. Yeah, mysteries that are too unlawful to talk about. Now, when I say unlawful, meaning that it is wrong to talk about them publicly because they are too deep and too mysterious. And I will be labeled a madman if I start talking about those things. Yeah, so the same thing about every Christian. There are things about you that you don't even know. Yeah, and you don't know them because you don't want to know. Yeah, not because you can't know. It's because you don't want to know. If you want to know, Jesus will show you to you. He will show who you really are in him to you. He will show you your kingdom identity, your divine identity. He will show it to you so that you can properly fulfill his purpose for your life. Yeah, because in the kingdom of God, there is a strong connection between creation and purpose. Yeah, in the kingdom of God, purpose is created with creation, and creation is created with purpose. Meaning that everything in heaven, they were designed because of their purposes. Because of their purposes, everyone in heaven were designed or created because of what they have to do for God. Yeah, so that was why I said it some time ago, maybe recently in one of the teachings. I said in heaven, some angels don't look like a human figure. They don't look like a human being. They don't have eyes, ears, mouth. Some angels, they look like computers because that is their purpose. They look like their purpose. Yeah. Some angels, they look like trees, flowers. Yeah. Some angels look like fearful creatures. When you look at them, you become scared. So most angels, they don't, if an angel appear in your dream, they don't usually appear the way they are, because usually you'll be scared, because they look like their purpose. So if an angel is a warrior by purpose, meaning the angel was created to make war, yeah, if that angel appears as he is, you will run away, because usually they appear like giants. Very tall, very big. You will run away, you'll be scared. You might even pass out. Yeah, so in the kingdom of God, there's a strong connection between your creation, your identity, and your purpose, including how you look. Yeah. So, which means that God is eager to show you who you really are. He's eager to show you your divine identity, so that it will help you to fulfill His purpose for your life. So many of you don't really know who you are, or you have not yet known who you are in Christ. You only know that you are born into, you know, one family. Your father is nice, a nice man. Your mother is a nice woman. Your grandfather was a nice man. Your grandmother was a nice woman. That's all you know. You don't know who you really are in the kingdom of God. You only know your earthly identity. Yeah, and that one is not real. Yeah. And look at the lifestyle of Jesus when he was on earth. Jesus did not at any point in time neglected his divine identity. Yeah. He did not at any point in time lose sight of his divine identity. He was walking in the full awareness of who he is in the kingdom. Yeah. When he look at demons, he look at demons as the Son of God. He doesn't look at demons as a son of Mary. You know, if it was Mary that gave birth to Jesus physically, Jesus wasn't looking at demons as a human being. He wasn't looking at them as, you know, as a son of somebody or something. He was looking at them as a divine personality. And that was why the demons were shouting, what have we have to, you know, what do we have to do with you? You Holy One of God, you Son of God. Yeah, the demons were shouting, mentioning his name, because he was not standing before them as a man. He was standing before them as a divinity, as a deity. Yeah, as a divine personality. So, and you know, and that made his authority to be very strong. So every time you stand in the identity of who you are in the kingdom of God, your authority will be very strong. Your dominion will be very, in fact, it will be too strong. So that is why when I began to know God very closely, he began to show me who I am in him. And the more I know who I am, the more powerful I became. Yeah. The more very powerful I become. I can't be telling you many things about myself, but that is the secret. If you seek to know him, and you seek to live for him, he will begin to show you why you were created, why you were born, and who you really are. He will begin to show you what you can do. I mean, supernatural abilities that were born with you that you can do. Some of the spiritual gifts the Bible talks about are not something you will be receiving. Some of them were born with you. Why you were born? I don't know if anyone has told you this before. Some of the spiritual gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians, I think 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Some of those spiritual gifts are not for you to be receiving them, not for you to be asking God and say, God, I need this gift. Of course, some of them you will ask for them. Some you are not to ask for them because they were born with you. Since God has known you before time began, so he already put those things in you before your parents gave birth to you. So some of them were born with you when you were coming into the world. So all that God will just do is to activate those abilities. Yeah, that is why some of us, we naturally can do supernatural things, and it has become so easy and so simple and so convenient. Why? Because we walked with God to the point where we were activated. What were born with us from birth were activated by God. And we now became the original person we are. Not the one our parents knew, but the one only God knew, the one God has known even before the earth was created. So we were activated to become that person, yeah, that God has known before the world began. And we began to walk in the reality of that person. And it now becomes so natural to be supernatural. So we do supernatural things so naturally. And it becomes a daily affair. This is what I'm talking about. Yeah, that is exactly what I'm talking about. So you can walk with God to the point that God starts telling you who you really are. It's to the point that he starts telling you that there are powers in you from the day you were born, and that he's going to activate them. Now, I'm not speaking heresy. Look at the story of John the Baptist. I'm sure you're familiar with the story of John the Baptist. What does the Bible say about John the Baptist? The Bible said that he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb. You read the Bible. The Bible said that John the Baptist shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb. So what does that mean? It means John the Baptist have existed somewhere, we don't know, somewhere in God, maybe somewhere in the heart of God. John the Baptist has existed and he has been filled with the Holy Ghost before they put him in the mother's womb. Yeah. So it means he carried some powers in him before he was born. Yeah, and they gave birth to him with those powers. So who says there are not people in the church today that were, you know, that were born with powers? Yeah, and that God really wants to start activate those powers that they were born with. Yeah. So this is how special our relationship with Jesus is. It's so deep. Jesus is deeper than what the Bible tells us of him. Everything the Bible said about Jesus is true and real, but he's deeper than that. You know, Apostle Paul began to give us this revelation that Jesus is the head. The church is the body. The apostles didn't know that revelation until God gave Apostle Paul. And there are more. Even Apostle John, the Jesus he used to put, you know, the Bible says John was someone that used to put his head on Jesus' chest. He was the apostle that Jesus loved. Yeah. The Jesus, Apostle John, used to put his head on his chest, was not the Jesus he saw when he was caught up into heaven. He saw another Jesus entirely, and he was killed. Yeah, so Jesus is deeper than what many of you know. You just say, Jesus, Jesus, I love Jesus, praise Jesus. There is more you don't know yet in Jesus. Yeah, and the more you draw closer to him, the more he began to show you himself, the more you will also know yourself and your purpose. Yeah, I'm not trying to say that you should be looking for some materials that is different from the Bible. I'm trying to tell you that that as you begin to follow the Jesus the Bible revealed, you will discover far more in the process about Jesus, far beyond what many people know, even what Bible scholars know. Yeah. You will begin to see more. And these are revelations the Holy Ghost will show you personally. So I'm not telling you to be looking for some books, maybe some book somebody said talks about Jesus. No, any book outside of the Bible, don't go after them because they can lead you astray. But I'm saying that there are deep things in him that will be unfolded to you if you begin to seek after him. If you make him the most important thing in life, if you forget about every other thing and make Jesus all that matters, I believe there are people who are willing to sacrifice everything and go after God, it won't be long that he will start visiting them and showing them mysteries of his kingdom. Yeah. But if you feel like there's no big deal about Christianity, there's not much to seek for, let me just have money, get married, have children, have a good job, buy a car, buy a house or build a house. Let me just enjoy life. There's no big deal about, you know, wanting to know God. That is not important. Fine. Then you will just live a normal life and maybe you might make heaven. I don't know if you will make heaven. Yeah. But what I know is that those who are willing to deny themselves, put aside every pleasure, put aside everything in this world, and are desperate to know God deeply, God is always found by those people. Yeah, that's what I know. Those who are willing to dedicate all the hours of their lives seeking God and living for him, they always find God in the end. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. Yeah, I'm going to stop here. We'll continue from here next week. So if you have any question, you can put it on the group, and that we answer them. And let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for showing us from your word the mystery of the church being your body and you being the head. Thank you for showing us what it means to be a Christian and to be your disciple. Lord, I ask that this message do a work in the hearts of everyone that have heard the message. I ask, oh God, that you use this message to bring everyone to repentance, to bring everyone to love you more than life itself, than
son. I ask, oh God, that by reason of this message, the understanding of many will be enlightened. I ask, oh God, that you will help us to stop focusing on irrelevant and mundane things of this world, insignificant things of this world, and that we begin to devote all our lives and time and days to seeking you and to knowing you and to learning of you. Thank you, Father, because I know you will help us. Thank you, Lord, because you will make it easy for us to do what is right in the light of this teaching. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Yeah. Endeavor to share this teaching with people so that they can be blessed also. And not just this teaching, even other teachings and forthcoming teachings. Yeah. Or invite them to be joining. Remain blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Goodbye.